1, 2, 3.
WRFI.
Watkins Glen.
Test.
Ithaca. WRFI Community Radio News is made possible by listeners like you.
Help us tell important stories about your community.
Head to wrfi.org/donate.
Joined by Maureen Gilroy. Maureen, can you hear me? I am sorry, folks. It will just be me solo this evening. Now here's tonight's news for Ithaca and Watkins Glen. In local news, the Tompkins County Health Department is reporting potential exposures to COVID-19, the Home Depot and Walmart in Ithaca. One individual who tested positive for COVID-19 is an employee at Walmart, and the other is an employee at the Home Depot. Both people are in isolation, and any close contacts are being asked to quarantine. Potential public exposure may have occurred over the course of 2 days at Home Depot, located at 410 Elmira Road, Ithaca. Those days and times are Thursday, December 3rd, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., and December 4th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. The public may have been exposed to the coronavirus on 3 occasions at the Walmart, located at 135 Fairgrounds Memorial Parkway, Ithaca. Those days and times were Tuesday, December 1st, from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., Wednesday, December 2nd, from 7 a.m. to 4:45 p.m., and Thursday, December 3rd, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Anyone who thinks that they may have been exposed should get tested and monitor themselves for symptoms of COVID-19. More information about the exposure and how to get tested for COVID-19, or to see a full list of symptoms, visit TompkinsCountyNY.gov/health or call 607-274-6688 or visit WRFI.org/coronavirus. The Tompkins County Health Department is reporting a record number of new COVID-19 cases as a result of asymptomatic infections within homes, small gatherings, and holiday celebrations. Other new cases have been found among small clusters of employees at local businesses and a number of positive cases associated with local higher education institutions. According to a health department press release, over 100 cases cannot identify where they might have contacted the disease. 61 new positive COVID-19 cases were reported last night by the Tompkins County Health Department. There are 10 new recoveries. According to the County Health Department, that leaves 293 active cases of COVID-19 in Tompkins. The county also reported that a fourth resident of Oak Hill Manor Nursing Home in Ithaca has died due to COVID-19. With the new cases, the Tompkins County Health Department is now strongly discouraging any non-essential gatherings and travel. In Schuyler County, there are 7 new cases of COVID-19 reported as of today, leaving 35 active cases, according to the health department. 3 remain hospitalized. The Ithaca Voice is reporting that New York State could face further dining restrictions if the rise of hospitalization rates continue over the next 5 days. During a press briefing on Monday, Governor Cuomo announced that the state would reduce allowed capacity at indoor dining establishments from 50% to 25%. Looking at the data, hospitalization rates are nearly guaranteed to continue rising. If so, indoor dining would be suspended entirely in New York City. Additionally, Cuomo said the Department of Health will be ordering hospitals to increase their capacity by 25% on Monday. He'll be holding 3 press briefings a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Cuomo's office asserts that new updates may be announced in the coming days. In the news of the Finger Lakes region, the Chamber of Commerce and Watkins Glen Promotions are presenting a new event called Holiday Lights, Schuyler Style. This festive and friendly contest encourages individuals to decorate their homes, lawns, fields, and buildings. Participation is currently being encouraged among businesses, residences, farms, wineries, and organizations, the Odessa File reports. The holiday lights will be on display for the public as drive-by in vehicles or stroll-by on foot. Users can download a detailed map of all the lights being displayed beginning the evening of December 15th. The map, as well as more details and rules about the contest, can be found online at explorewatkinsglen.com. Again, that is explorewatkinsglen.com. In New York State news, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on Thursday that he will put forward an executive order that gives tenants access to over $60 million in rent relief. This comes after New York State only distributed $40 million of $100 million in federal funds intended for low-income families struggling to pay their rent, as reported by the Gothamists. When asked by reporters at a recent press conference why the state had not yet disbursed all funds, Melissa DeRosa, secretary to Governor Cuomo, stated that, quote, "We are not sitting on the money. We want the money to go out to people who need it most," unquote. While it's still unclear how the program will change, the governor says the program will expand eligibility requirements in order to send further resources to New Yorkers in need. A press release says more details will be available in the coming days. And in national news, the Electoral College meets to certify the results, more legal defeats for Trump, and the Biden administration takes form. More on the latest U.S. election news, courtesy of our friends over at the Pacifica Network and the Public News Service.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
Most of the time, this day comes and goes and nobody pays any attention to it, but I suspect that we will have probably a lot of drama that will mean nothing.
Today's the safe harbor deadline when states must finalize their electoral votes and resolve any election disputes. But Ohio Northern University professor Robert Alexander is a little more worried about the next election deadline, December 14th, when electors meet to vote for president and vice president.
I don't foresee that we will see any faithless votes. I don't think we're going to see many fireworks among electors. But because it's such a complicated process, that is a little bit worrisome.
President Donald Trump might have a Hail Mary pass. Republican Congressman Mike Kelly's petition to the U.S. Supreme Court to cancel Pennsylvania's certification of a Biden win. It argues the state legislature did not have constitutional authority to pass no-excuse voting by mail. Some of Trump's most loyal defenders in Congress reportedly want him to take the fight to overturn the election results to the House floor in January. Georgia elections chief Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, announced the recertification of the state's election results yesterday, despite Trump's continued calls for additional signature verification.
It's been a long 34 days since the election. We have now counted legally cast ballots 3 times, and the results remain unchanged.
The so-called Kraken lawsuit in Georgia, brought by Trump ally Sidney Powell, was dismissed Monday, along with similar lawsuits in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Trump's legal team and his allies have lost or withdrawn almost 40 cases regarding the election so far.
Whether it is the President of the United States or a failed gubernatorial candidate, disinformation regarding election administration should be condemned and rejected. Integrity matters. Truth matters.
More than 1,500 attorneys and other legal professionals signed an open letter condemning the actions of Trump's legal team and calling on bar associations to investigate ethical violations. As a counselor with the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, Janai Nelson says the rejection of Trump's legal challenges proves the courts are still a venue for impartial arbitration.
That said, these lawsuits were so frivolous and so baseless that it was relatively easy for the courts to come to these conclusions.
And Nelson's hopeful the justice system can continue to be relied on as new challenges emerge.
1 in 4 appellate judges has been appointed by President Trump. We saw what Mitch McConnell has done to block judicial nominations in prior administration, what it has done to ram them through in this administration. And so I think we are right to be wary about how our courts will serve us.
President-elect Joe Biden continues to look forward and will reportedly name retired U.S. Army four-star General Lloyd Austin as his nominee for defense secretary. If confirmed, Austin would be the first African-American to hold the position. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Thanks for listening.
And that concludes our headline news for tonight. Coming up, you'll hear a selection of the WRFI and Alternatives Library series, Alternatives in Action, which explores consumer choices to make the world we live in possible. That's after the break on WRFI Community Radio News. Stay with us. WRFI Community Radio News. I'm Ed Von Attercass. In December 2018, before COVID times, WRFI News contributor Ryan Clover Owens set out to learn about how consumer choices make an impact on local businesses. That curiosity brought him to one local bookstore in town, which you'll hear about in this section of Alternatives in Action.
This is Alternatives in Action. It's a podcast about the choices we have to make the world we want to live in possible. I'm your host, Ryan Clover. I'm from the Durland Alternatives Library. And in this episode, I'm actually questioning myself and my own choices as a librarian and where I buy books, for the library. So we're a small, independent library here in Ithaca, and I'm going to just come out and say it. You know, for the last few years, I've been shopping on Amazon, Amazon.com, and I don't feel great about it. In fact, every time I saw a news article or a scandal or, you know, something came out about their business practices and the ways that they corner and undercut small business, I didn't feel good about it, but I never found a way to work around it. I didn't put that effort forward, and I have to say, I apologize about that. I think that my job here is to take some leadership in representing the values of this organization that's been around since 1974, providing alternatives. And so it's just a little embarrassing. But look, this isn't an episode about tech giant corruption. This isn't an episode to make you feel bad about where you shop, okay? It's not about purity. It's actually about institutional choices, right? Because that's really what we're talking about is the Alternatives Library is an institution. We have a budget. We do fundraising. So when we make a choice to partner with local booksellers, it actually makes a really big difference. Okay, so what I'm doing for this episode is I'm actually walking down to Buffalo Street Books and I'm talking with Lisa Swayze, the general manager. I'm just going to walk in and So I did this yesterday. I walked in and I fessed up and I met her for the first time. And I said, can I come back tomorrow and interview you? And she agreed. So that's what this episode is. And in part two, I'm gonna go to Autumn Leaves Used Bookstore. So check out part two as well. A little background. So Buffalo Street Books is a community independent bookstore in Ithaca, New York, right downtown in the DeWitt Mall. It became a cooperative as an alternative to selling the business during hard times. Now, I'm so grateful that they made this choice because I used to go to this bookstore as a kid, so there's a lot of nostalgia there. But what's inspiring is that the business was about to close, but people in the community who valued it stood up and they said, there's an alternative. We could have a cooperative, member-owned bookstore in Ithaca, and they made that happen. And honestly, this is a perfect example of the types of things that we talk about and that we show at the library through our collection when we talk about alternatives. So it's with so much honor that I present this episode to you about Buffalo Street Books. Hey, I'm here for the person who sits there, Lisa. Yes, we just met yesterday.
I just got to Buffalo Street Books, and I'm kind of nervous.
Okay.
Because I feel guilty that I haven't been cultivating the relationship here so much.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Is it still a good time?
Yes, it's a good time.
It looks great in here.
Thank you. We've been working hard. We've been working very hard. I'm Lisa Swayze. I'm the general manager of the bookstore. I started just about a year ago.
This is embarrassing, but I told everyone I was going to fess up. I'm the librarian at the Alternatives Library, and I stopped by yesterday to introduce myself and admit that I'd been ordering books from Amazon. I chose convenience over doing the right thing, which I think a lot of listeners could relate to.
Well, we totally understand. I totally understand that Amazon makes it really, really easy. We try to make it as easy as we can, too. It's never going to be a click and you'll have it the next day. But every day people call us and ask, or email us and ask for a particular book. And we look it up, and we figure out where it's coming from, and we order it. And people usually have it almost always within the week. Sometimes it depends on what time of the week you order. Sometimes it's a day or two. So anything they can do, we can mostly do. Also, we really want to be able to provide the community with the books they need. Being one of my main jobs is creating relationships with other community organizations so that they can know that the books they need are going to be here. We also want to represent. We want to make sure that we're showing the books that matter to our community. And so it's worthwhile to us to make those connections.
I'm going to add, too, that this is a really beautiful space that you've created in here. I mean, it's, like, engaging. There's this really just open, beautiful floor plan. There's a kids section. You know, it's different than hunched over my desk, clicking on things.
What people get out of coming into the bookstore is a sense of community. Again, it's being around other people who share that interest in reading and books. It's seeing what's new and different. You know, it's very different to pick it up and hold it in your hand. It's finding the thing that you would have never found.
It's not being suggested by the algorithm. It's you're walking past it on your way to what you might be looking for.
Right. Right. What I love best is when someone has already checked out and they're starting to walk out and they say, I had to come back because I saw something else I needed. That's always good. It's like we want people to see something else they needed. It's that connection.
Like information isn't scarce. So people don't come to the Alternatives Library because they need to find a book about, straw bale houses. They can find that book now easier than ever. They can find blog posts about it, podcasts, documentaries probably. Yeah, I mean, our atmosphere is something that we've been investing in. We love that it's become this like robust events venue and all the other things. So yeah, I think we have so much in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the ways that you connect to the community are also the ways that the community then connects to you. So we have an author event. That author has the people that care about them already, plus the people who follow the bookstore on social media or see it in the Ithaca Times or the Ithaca Voice or something. And so then they're brought together with other people who have similar interests. And it's really exciting to be around that kind of energy.
Is there anything else you want to share about independent booksellers?
So the American Booksellers Association has done a lot of research to try to really explain to communities what kinds of impact it has if you're spending your money outside of the community instead of inside the community. And I can give some statistics about that later on. I have some information. But basically, it's a really big deal. You know, the money that you're spending buying online is money that means somebody doesn't have a job here in town. And I really love being a part of something that's creating opportunities. We're a living wage employer. It feels good to know that you've got people working here in such a pleasant environment, getting to spread the joy of books and connect with their neighbors about it. So it's there's a million reasons why it's really a worthwhile thing to do.
I had a great conversation with Sean from Edible Acres, who's talking about permaculture, and he talked about this principle of kind of distributing. It's a way of dealing with water where you slow it, you spread it, and you sink it. Mm. And he was like, it works the same way with local economies. You kind of slow down, you spread the resources amongst your community, you sink it into your community. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to tie all the little dots back together.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad that we're able to start to get to know each other. I look forward to hanging out more. Heidi and I are going to have a schedule where we are able to come here and do our book shopping for the library.
Exciting.
And that's going to be really fun for us. We're going to get to have a more tactile in-person experience as we go around and get our things. And honestly, it's just a matter of making it work. And that's really, I think, when it comes down to it, that's what you're doing. You're making it work in a tough economy for booksellers. You're making this space. And if this space didn't exist, then people couldn't go to bookstores anymore. And that's just the reality of it. And so I think, for everybody listening, for us to just be grateful that people are doing the hard work to have a store like this open in our community. I just remember the store was here as I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And for me, even just to have a place like this I could wander into and look at books as a kid was just so valuable. And I know that libraries are there for that too, but, more different types of places are really important.
Yeah. Libraries are the best. We love our local TCPL. We actually do a lot. We participate in their Readathon fundraiser this year. Buffalo Street Books team read some great things. We actually won the award for best reading selections. So there
nice,
you go.
Nice.
But there is something, it's different selections. It's not organized in quite such a straight up way. We've got cozy chairs and bright rugs, and it's a fun environment to be in. So.
What's one of your favorite sections of the bookstore right now? Just one.
Just one. I'm always going to say fiction. It's my wheelhouse. And I think this year has been a great year for new fiction. And so there's some amazing, amazing things to read that I'm excited to share with more people over the holidays.
Do you have a favorite young adult fiction book right now?
I do. And actually, wait.
I'm going to go look at it.
I'm trying to find it on the shelf. Somebody might have bought it off the shelf, which is a good thing. My favorite young adult book right now is called The Poet X. It is by Elizabeth Acevedo. And it actually also just won a National Book Award for Young People's Literature. And I got to meet her at an ABA regional conference where she spoke, because it won that local ABA area too. It's actually a novel told in poetry. And you would think that would be a little off-putting, but it flows just like the best fiction, and you're totally hooked from the moment you do it. You get started. It's really a great book.
I'm intrigued. A novel that flows with poetry.
Yep. It's pretty good stuff. We also have a really favorite of the year young picture book for little kids. It's been my favorite all along, and nobody has displaced it yet. It's called Julian is a Mermaid by Jessica Love. And it's a lovely story about Julian and his abuela. And they're just riding on a train. They're going to the beach. They're doing a lot of things. But Julian is fascinated by mermaids, and so everywhere he goes, he sees mermaids. And he wants to be a mermaid. And his grandmother, his abuela, is basically matter of fact about it. And just, he gets dressed up, he wants to do more. She's like, okay, cool. She goes along with it. And in the end, she takes him to basically a carnival parade where there are many, many, many people dressed up in bright colors, and he thinks he's found all the mermaids and they join their parade. It's just a sweet story because it's very culturally rich. It's got a really beautiful art, but it's also just a sweet story.
So. Yeah, it's really a stunning book. Wow.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Thanks for sharing that. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Lisa, and showing me around the store.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. I can't stop futzing as you're talking to me. I'm still straightening as we go along.
I know the feeling. Yeah. That's what I do, too.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
Study in 2016, and this is New York's data.
In 2016, Amazon and its third-party marketplace vendors sold $9.9 billion of retail goods in the state. Wow, in New York State alone, $9.9 billion.
Displaced
one company.
3,280 small shops. Retail jobs were displaced with 47,505 displaced retail jobs with no Amazon jobs replacing them. And, you know, it goes on and on, uncollected sales tax, et cetera. So there's, you know, really valid reasons to choose local.
Yeah. This is amazing. Can I take this?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
All righty.
Have a great weekend. This one company is able to completely dominate the market simply by making itself easiest, you know, easiest, most accessible in everybody's pocket. You know, I figure I could even just delete the app and move on with my life. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? I need to spend a little bit of extra time stopping at the bookstore to get books. I mean, when I really think about it, I get about 3 or 4 requests a year that are actually urgent. So we could do this. We could order entirely through local booksellers. You know, I think that our budget is tighter, and we're starting to ask for money from our patron community. We're inviting people to become members, essentially, Friends of the Alternatives Library. And if we're going to be getting these smaller dollar donations, really like crowdfunding our way to building the unique collection that we have, I think they deserve to know that we are buying local. And that does it for this episode of Alternatives in Action podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Ryan Clover. Find out more information at alternativeslibrary.org. And hey, if you feel compelled to supporting the Alternatives Library, please join as a friend of the Alternatives Library. This is a brand new program that we started to allow patrons and even supporters from afar to support the important work that we are doing at the Alternatives Library and on our website, alternativeslibrary.org. Thank you so much for listening, and can't wait to see you, which is kind of a funny thing to say on a podcast, in the next episode. Take care.
Again, that was an episode of WRFI and the Alternatives Library podcast, Alternatives in Action, which explores consumer choices to make the world we live in possible. This piece was produced by Ryan Clover and first aired in December 2018, so well before COVID. And that will do it for our program today. Our website is WRFI.org, where you can take another listen to the original news features by the WRFI news team. And to get the latest news on local, regional, and state stories about COVID-19, please visit WRFI.org/coronavirus. headlines at the top of our program were edited by WRFI news intern Antonio Fermi. News contributor Esther Rakusin edited today's news items. Today's feature producer was WRFI contributor Ryan Clover. I'm Ed von Adercats. WRFI news director Michaela Savitt is the executive producer for our program. If you have a question, tip, or comment for the news team, you can reach our team of reporters at news@ithacaradio.org. Again, that's news@ithacaradio.org. Or call us at 607-441-9734. That's 441-9734. You can even text us. We'll be back tomorrow night and every weekday evening at 6 to bring you more of the stories impacting our community. On behalf of the entire WRFI News team, take care, be well, have a great evening.
1, 2, 3.
WRFI.